Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the podcast for Shadow Her. And today we are so excited to have Regina Hess here, dear friend of mine. And just my sure buddy Neil, too, by the way. But, you know, Regina is a very successful entrepreneur as well. And a very unique journey. And so I'm really happy to have her today. And you're going to sit back and listen and hear a wonderful story of a wonderful entrepreneur. So Regina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. So thrilled to be part of the Shadow Her family. And can't wait to see all the amazing things that you do.
Well, we are thrilled to have you. And you're also now a sponsor too.
Yay!
So thank you so much for stepping up and doing that, you know, because this is new. People don't like to sponsor things they don't touch, feel, and see. And you automatically just stepped up and said, I'm in, girl.
Well,
and thank you.
Anything that you do is going to be spectacular. So let's just put that out there right now. You know it's going to be a huge success. And just even before I even went to the event that you just held, just looking at what you were doing and what you were offering, it's such a needed, implication out there. Like, so many women need that to get ahead. And the 1% of the 1%, like, that's just crazy.
It's crazy. I know. And people, and a lot of women just give up because they want to, you know, I got to be a parent or a caregiver, and they'll put themselves last again. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame because they have these great ideas and their great visions, and they'll put everything aside instead. So I think also, thank you for the compliment, but I do think if you surround yourself with great people, I have a great associate director, and I have a great production crew, you know, I have a lot of people behind the scenes helping get this all moving. Anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. Let's go on your journey. You have a very unique journey. And, you know, you didn't start up and just wake up one day and say, I want to be an entrepreneur. So what was your first career in life?
My first career, I was a critical care nurse. So I took care of people when they came, you know, when they came to the hospital and they had a heart attack, anything like heart or cardiovascular related, and they needed the ICU, I worked in the cardiothoracic unit and cardiac care unit. And if they had open heart surgery, we would wheel them out of the OR and then take care of them to, you know, get them better and get them to a regular floor. So I took care of people's physical health at that point.
Wow. Okay. And so that's a switch from today.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously that came out, you had to be very calm. You had to be very patient because obviously, you know, a lot of like anxiety, a lot of stress going on at the same time. You know, how did you know that you were going to start your career off like that?
I didn't, you know, so one, I did love being in healthcare, and I knew I loved taking care of people, and I loved cardiac and vascular. It was so cool. And it was, you know, there was a lot of life and death situations, but you're right. You learn what you're supposed to do, and you're, you know, everybody's pulling together to do what they can to, you know, help people, you know, be successful at, you know, recovering. But you know, when I graduated school, college, I went in and I knew I did not want to be, my passion wasn't with, you know, working on a regular floor. I knew I needed something a little bit more deep and, you know, would draw me in a little bit more. And so that's how I wound up in critical care.
Well, that's pretty drawn in, I have to tell you. So, like, let's go hard right there, Regina. That sounds just like you. You know, let's go full force ahead, you know, which is pretty awesome. But, you know, you look back at it and you say you started that. Was anything going on in your life, especially probably between the ages of 8 and 14, that helped you shape basically starting off your career like that?
Wow. That's a crazy good question. A lot of things were going on in my life. Okay, so I grew up, I had, you know, four older brothers, and my dad left when the summer between third and fourth grade. And so my mom was raising us five kids with basically nothing. You know, the divorce courts weren't so kind to women back then, and family court was not as strong as it is today. So she literally had to raise us with nothing. And, you know, she had to go back. She was working for my dad's company. So she had, you know, she had to go from that to finding a quote unquote real job where she had no official track record because she couldn't go back to him and say, can you say I worked for you? But she did it. And then she also, after we were somewhat successfully launched or at least going into the real world, she then went back to college and, you know, she became a nurse.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Fantastic. Right?
She's definitely my hero.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Now, did she become a nurse after seeing you become a nurse? Well,
mm-hmm.
in that world? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good for you. See, such an influence you already had so young. So how fantastic. I'm sorry you had to go through that. That's a lot.
But you know what? You learn. Life throws you curveballs, and it's what you do with those curveballs, you know. And if I didn't have those life lessons, I don't think I would be as successful as I am today. Because you learn more from your failures than you do your successes, as I'm sure you know as well. But it's, you know, it's life. It's part of life. And life can't be just all cookies and, you know, candy. Nothing. Although I do eat a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's so funny. The older I've gotten, the less I feel I need a chocolate, which is really weird for me. So yeah. I want to have a chip instead. So it's interesting. So go back to that. You know, you had four brothers and your mom raised all of you. And brothers can be tough, especially being the youngest, right?
Yeah.
And do you think that helped you become a successful financial person?
Yes. There's no way I would have survived in my field if I didn't have four older brothers, because they basically, you know, made me, had that outer shell that became a little hard. So I could take all the stuff that got thrown at me, because my business, my industry is about 85 to 90% male. And I love a lot of my male counterparts, but there's some really, really tough roads out there with dealing with that many men. And there's not as many opportunities either.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's the good old boy network. And, you know, that's okay. But, you know, hopefully the women get their good old girl network at some point. But, you know, they would help each other. And, you know, hey, I have a client I can't take. Or, you know, when somebody would leave or retire, they would distribute the book to the guys. And, you know, I'd get the crumbs. So it's real.
Yeah, and I completely attest to that. It is totally real, and I don't think people fully understand that, and they'll say, oh, you have all these perks because you're a female, and I'm like, I actually think we're still climbing a hard road,
Absolutely. Unfortunately.
But it is what it is. You know, you just deal with it, and you go with it. So you had that time in your life. You're moving up. You become a nurse. And do you think because you became a nurse, it had a lot to do with basically being brought up and having four brothers and taking care, probably helping take care of the whole family along with your mom?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then you pivoted.
I did.
Pivoted big time.
I pivoted.
And what started the thinking to go behind that as to why to pivot in your life after you already started being a nurse?
So there became a point, and this is going back a long time, obviously, managed care started to come into the hospitals, and they started taking benefits away from nurses and making it harder to provide the care that we were supposed to provide, especially in a critical care unit, right? Mm-hmm. And my final point of, like, I couldn't take anymore was when they decided to make the people who pushed the wheelchairs around in the hospital, they decided to make them patient care technicians, and all of my medications were titrated to, you know, vital signs and all this other stuff, and they decided to make them in control of that. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, my license is going to be determined by what these uneducated people are going to be putting on, you know, the screen. So I was like, yeah, no, hard no. Not doing that. Not doing that.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then how many years were you already a nurse before you had said, you know what, I'm going to do something different?
I want to say five or so years. I can't even remember how long. And then even when I did do the pivot, I stayed per diem just because I wanted to keep my feet in it for a while. And then once I got to the point where I was doing per diem for a weekend, like per diem, I'm sorry, is like, you know, every once in a while when they need help, I'd be like, all right, I'll schedule myself for like one Saturday or two Saturdays a month. So one time, you know, 2 years later or whatever, a patient started crashing. And that means that they're not doing too well. Their blood pressure's going down, their heart rate's going down. And I, instead of reacting, I stopped for like 10 seconds and thought about it. And then I went and did what I did. And I'm like, okay, so that's my sign. If I can't react immediately, if I have to literally think, then I need to step back, because now I'm not safe, or I'm not making it safe for the client or patient.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to financial, you know, the financial world.
Yeah.
You know, what did you have to do to get started in that world?
So when I graduated college, a friend of mine decided to teach me about the stock market by saying, you know, here's your gift for college is a stock, but you have to pick the stock. You have to tell me why. You have to give me all the reasons why you should own this stock. And he pretty much created a little crazy person because I was like, oh my God, this is really cool. You know, we were never really experienced or were exposed to that growing up. So literally once I was already a nurse, I pretty much right away went back and took business classes for curiosity. And a lot of them were like stock market related or economics related and things like that. So the passion was growing. And had it not been for that managed care situation, I don't know if I would have taken the risk that I did. But my thought pattern was, well, I can always come back and be a nurse if this isn't a good road or a path for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? You always had a fallback, for sure.
And I still have my nursing license.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I renew it every 2 years, I think. I do the CEs. So I'm like, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. It's wow, so true. So then you started doing, what were the steps you had to take? It's not easy just overnight to become one. So what were the steps you had to take, you know, and what was going on at home at the same time?
Well, I was lucky that at that point when I did that, I was married for about a year. So we were able to take the chance because I had to take a drastic cut in pay. So my husband was able to make sure we did the math and we're like, okay, we'll just got to be really careful and see how this goes. So financially we were okay, but you know, not as okay as we were when I was working as a nurse. And then for education, with this career, there's no real, well, now there might be, but there was no real degrees that you could get to be a financial advisor or financial planner. So I decided, I found out that Merrill Lynch at the time had the best program. They used to have really, really good training programs. And I had no idea what they are like today, but back then they were really good. So my thought was, if I can get a job there, I'll make the switch. And that's the only way I'll go. I had all these like parameters set up for myself.
You did.
I did. And then I got the job. Not right away. I had to work on that, on the manager to hire me. He made me call him like 20 times. I don't know. Did I get this job? Well, yeah, all that fun stuff. They basically taught you how to be a financial advisor, but it's really a lifelong lesson because, you know, things are changing, evolving constantly. I went on to get my designation for financial planning. I got a designation for working with people through a divorce, but even with those designations, you're constantly doing CE credit. My CFP designation is up for renewal in February, and I just got an email the other day. It was so funny because usually when your designations come up from renewal, you're like, oh my gosh, I need, you know, how many credits, blah, 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 blah. And I think your total credits are like, I forget, like 25 or 30 that you need, and two have to be in ethics. Well, I already have 50. I was just like, wow, I've been going to a lot of classes.
Yeah, I love that though. But you know, but you're a learner. You're a lifelong learner, and you just love being challenged yourself and all. So it's pretty cool. So tell us more about the practice today.
Oh my goodness. So now I am independent. I have the company is based out of Malvern. We have three full-time employees, one part-time, who's my son. He helps me with some of my video production as well. So we've been independent or our own business for eight years.
And I know you've had some challenges, and we're going to get to that. We're going to take a break real quick. Again, you're listening to the Shadow Her podcast, and we'll be right back.
In today's competitive business landscape, every dollar counts. Revolutionize your talent process with the O'Connor Group's game-changing hourly recruiting model. Say goodbye to excessive agency fees and sneaky hidden costs. With our innovative approach, you will only pay for what you truly need: highly skilled and strategic professionals dedicated to delivering exceptional results. Plus, we can save you upwards of 75%. Need flexibility? No problem. Our hourly model empowers you to scale up or down effortlessly without being tied down to burdensome long-term contracts. It's time to rethink recruitment and keep your budget where it rightfully belongs, in your pocket. To learn more about how to unleash the true potential of your talent process, visit us at www.tocgrp.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Shadow Her podcast. Again, we're here with my guest, Regina Hess. We're just talking about a little bit of her schedule, of her pivoting in her life from a nurse to now being a financial planner expert and having her own company. And, you know, and during the break, we basically talked about spaghetti on the wall. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, being the youngest of five and having four older brothers, it's a competitive world in my family. So, when I decided to do this, I knew I didn't want to have to go back to them and say tell anybody that I failed. So the thought was that I was not going to go back with my tail between my legs. So when I started in the business, I didn't have anybody. I didn't know anybody who had money. I didn't know anybody, and I didn't know how I was going to do this. But my thought was, if I throw enough spaghetti at the wall, something will stick, and I will just keep throwing more and more up there, and eventually it's going to click for me.
And it did. You mean you were persistent in calling it. You went into Merrill Lynch. You got in there at a time which is not easy for females to get into, and still isn't, by the way. And, you know, you went through all that. You started your company. You have now family in the company, you know, and, you know, you've had challenges. Let's go through one of those challenges.
Ooh. I think the first challenge was learning how to be a business owner, because I became an entrepreneur it was kind of by accident. Mm-hmm. I just decided, you know, I was at another company and they were just trying to product push all the time. And I was just constantly standing there with the Heisman, like my hand out, like, no, you know, and because I would look at it and I'm like, this isn't appropriate for my client. And so I finally just was like tired of fighting with them all the time. And I'm like, I can't keep doing this.
Yep.
So it kind of became a necessity, and I decided to go out on my own because I did not want to have to move to another company and the same thing happening over and over again. So I decided to go, and that was at first I was like, this is a great idea. And then a week before I went out on my own, I'm like, what the hell am I doing? This is crazy. Mm-hmm. I have my family. I have three kids. You know, I have my mom living with me. I have, you know, brothers who sometimes need stuff from me. I'm like, oh my God, I could literally fail everyone if this doesn't work out. And, you know, so that fear came in, you know, a week before I was supposed to launch my business. But the great thing was the day I handed my resignation in my field, you hand your resignation in, you walk out, you get in your car, you drive to your new office and you start calling your clients. That's how it works.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you're not allowed to tell people ahead of time. And clients get upset about that.
But
you're
sure.
Like, yeah, I'm not getting sued. No, no way. But when I handed my resignation in and I walked to my car, it was like the weight of the world lifted off of me. I was just like, oh my God, I'm so relieved to be out of here.
The right decision.
Yes, it was the right decision. So, you know, getting into that, like then I had I know how to be a financial advisor. I know how to be a financial planner. I was like, oh, I don't know. Do I know how to be a business owner? So for the past 8 years, I've been learning that. And I wish I had taken some, like, you know, some kind of accounting class or some other type of business owner type of classes before I launched it. But, you know, it's been 8 years and I've survived. So it's kind of like learning on the go. And, you know, I'm friends with people like yourself and other successful entrepreneurs. And, you know, we have, you know, some of those networking events that we attend and, you know, just having that camaraderie and asking the questions like, hey, I'm struggling with this. And what are your thoughts on that? Or what are you doing for that? So that's what helps.
Mm-hmm. It's funny to see how working around other entrepreneurs too, it really motivates you, get you like totally like in the game of things. And not only that, sometimes you have to tell them like, hey, I've had a bad day. Can you talk? Mm-hmm. And having someone like that really understand what you're going through, because sometimes you, as the CEO, it's very lonely.
Oh yeah.
At the top. And people don't discuss that when you're about to open up a business. They don't tell you, hey, by the way, don't forget to do this. And hey, forget to do this and do this and do this. And I think those are the things that we learn along the way. And you know what's ironic, which I find fascinating? You are a financial planner and you didn't go to school for finance. You didn't go to school for accounting, but you still did it and you're still doing it. I can't tell you how many people give me the excuses. Well, I don't have an accounting degree. I'm like, yeah, so? I'm like, oh, I don't have this. I'm like, yeah, so? And to me, I'm sitting there like, if you teach yourself, if you read and you basically do what you have to do, you're going to be fine, mm-hmm. you know? But some people put so much luggage and baggage in front of them that they can't get through to see basically their true potential, mm-hmm. which is so crazy. Now, you are a huge advocate too for other women entrepreneurs. You're definitely out there. You have your own podcast and all too. You know, what's the biggest, I guess, secret to advice of basically having a, being an entrepreneur, doing something completely different, pivoting in your life, coming through a family that, you know, is a little rocky here and there, but you had to feel like you took care of everybody. You know, what's the biggest piece of advice you could give women entrepreneurs today?
You know, it's similar advice that I have for my women clients, right? Take care of yourself first. We all take care of everyone else in our lives before us. And then there's nothing left over for us. Just like, you know, so an example of that was when this is years ago when I was still at Merrill Lynch, I called them littles at that point because they were little. I had three little kids and I would have to get them ready for school and for wherever they were going. And then, you know, I'd have to get everybody together. And my husband was a pharmacist, so he had to leave because the pharmacy couldn't open without him. So I had to, you know, take care of everything. So I got to work. When I got to work was when I would get my cup of tea and I would literally just read the headlines of the Wall Street Journal. And this man, a financial advisor, walked by me and said, you're not supposed to be reading the paper at home. That's something you're supposed to do before you get to work. Like, so condescending.
Wow.
Meanwhile, his wife was at home taking care of the kids, probably made him breakfast that day. Who knows? But it was just such a snide remark. It has stayed with me that's probably like 15 plus years ago. It has still stayed with me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. So like, I'm like, okay, this is my second job. Okay. I'm finally having a cup of tea at 9 a.m. I've gotten my kids out to work. So that's what I mean. But like, so we take care of everybody else first. Then I, you know, that day I took care of work. I took care of all my clients. And that night I came home and took care of my kids. And I went to bed and did the same thing the next day. So that's what we do as women. But what we need to think about is when we get on the plane and the stewardess or what are they called? They're not stewardess anymore. I forget what they're called, but the airline people say, you know, put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you help somebody else so that you have the oxygen before you help somebody else, because you can help somebody else if you run out of oxygen.
But Regina, you could say that a million times in itself. And then a million times over, we have been brought up to basically take care of others. And we see our parents do it, and then we do it. And that's just who we are, innate in us. It's also being a mom. Mm-hmm. You know, it's being a female, too. And we just had innateness in us to take care of others. So I hear you, but I still think we have a long way to go.
Oh, so far. So yeah. Far. Because I struggle with that, too.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My team will look. As a matter of fact, I'm sure Amy's looking at me right now and saying, yeah, right there, girlfriend. And that's okay. I can handle it. But interesting enough, you know, you are doing so well. And, you know, where do you want to take the business? How far do you want to be? Are you happy where you're at? I mean, tell me where you're at.
Oh, I'm happy where I am at. I have a great team. I want to grow, though. I definitely feel like my kids are, you know, I have two boys in college and my youngest is a junior in high school. So now I feel like I have, you know, more free time because, you know, the junior high school girl, we get 5 minutes a day with her. And then she's like, all right, I'm done with you people.
Yep.
You know, done with you people. So I have a lot more time that I can put into the business now. So I'm very much in a growth mode. You know, so I would hope that, you know, be able to hire one person per year over the next 10 years. So that's how I want to grow.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love those growth goals. I think they're awesome. And it's people want to go to places that are growing too and being taken care of and also feeling like they have a purpose and that they're loved, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. And I think I see that with you and how you are and with your people and you know, how much you give back to so many women and your events and all too are so great. So it's such an honor. How do people get a hold of you?
Oh, okay. My website is forgewealth.com and our office number is 484-588-5432. And you can always find me on LinkedIn at Regina McCann Hess.
There you go. So great. Regina, can't thank you enough for being here today. Thank you enough for being part of the Shadow Hope program, being a sponsor, representing us on Friday with our first ever graduate cohort, our first one. Yay! It's a big deal for us. And, you know, I can't wait to see what happens in the future. I think there's going to be a lot more going on. And thanks for just being a good friend. So, and congratulations for doing all the pivots and being a part of that life and showing others that they can do it too, because, you know, everybody can do it. They're just going to believe in themselves first, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for all you are doing to support other women. And whether or not you're directly mentoring people, you are mentoring a big group of women because you're setting the expectations for what we should be doing for everybody else.
Well, thanks. I had a lot of help and growing up with my good parents, there for sure. Well, thank you so much. And out there, thanks for listening today. Again, this is Shadow Her Podcast, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.